muscular dystrophy, FSHD, facioscapulohumeral muscular dystrophy. It's kind of a mouthful. At the age of 9, I was born with it, and I showed symptoms as early as 4. Things like blowing out birthday candles and raising my arms above my head were difficult, and not being able to fully close my eyes at night were things, little red flags that my parents noticed, and I was different than my brother who didn't do those things. And it took a few years to finally come to a diagnosis, and we had to fly up to New York, and I'm based in Atlanta, and was the first meeting that we had with that doctor was, I know exactly what you have, and we're going to do a genetic test to confirm it. And we tested all of our immediate family members, and no one was a carrier. No one else had it. And I'm that spontaneous mutation with muscular dystrophy. And the idea behind muscular dystrophy is that it's a progressive muscle wasting disease. And over time, what I was physically able to do at one point in my life is not necessarily the case as it is today. And so if we look back when I was in high school, that's kind of when walking started becoming more difficult. And I was no longer to be able to play those active competitive sports like I was doing, soccer, basketball, softball. I used to run often. And that became challenging as mentally and emotionally as well. I'm just having to deal with that and process that you're a teenager just trying to be just like any other teenager, and you already are going through all the problems of high school that it brings you, and then not to be not being able to fully just participate in all those sports and activities is difficult, right? You just want to kind of blend in, and you're also trying to find yourself as a person. And my mom told me, and I'm so appreciative of her support, she always told me, you know, Carden, you have two pathways in life. You can be really disappointed about what you're dealt with and the cards that you gave, that were given to you, or we can work together to become the person that you want to see and be that change that you want to see. And not really about overcoming the obstacles, but really just meeting those obstacles head on and adapting to them. And there's different transitions in my life. And so when I was 14, walking and running were becoming more difficult. And by the time I graduated high school, I could barely walk upstairs very well without using a handrail. And I started having a gait and some lordosis, which is sway back is the common term. In college, I started using leg braces because I couldn't pick up my feet anymore. And so I was tripping and falling. And so safety became an issue. And then after I graduated college, I transitioned to using a scooter part-time. And as walking became more and more difficult, I fell more and more often. Again, just was difficult. It was tiring. It was exhausting. I had to calculate in my head how many steps I had to take, where people are going to bump into me. Are there cracks in the pavement? What if I fall? Who's going to pick me up? And it was like I was trapped in this mind of, it was like prison almost. It felt in your mind, thinking about these things. And then also declining activities and participating in events because you knew that you couldn't physically walk to them, or when you got there, it would just be too much and too tiring for you to do. So I kind of isolated myself for a few years, and then transitioned to a power wheelchair. And that was the freedom that I had been looking for a while. And it really did elevate me as an individual. It gave me my freedom back. And not to say that it didn't come with challenges, right? You know, I'm continuing to progress in my muscular dystrophy. And so every year it gets harder and harder. And so now I don't stand at all. I don't walk at all. And so with that, it's just having to balance your health, your bone health, whether or not you're getting the proper nutrition. So those are all really top of mind for me. But I roll around 6 miles an hour throughout life and really enjoy the advocacy work that I'm doing and just giving back to the community and elevating other people with disabilities.
Which is phenomenal, Carden. As you alluded to, you know, it's about carving your path, and your mom has helped you in terms of emotionally and mentally giving you that pep talk to live your own life and carving your path. What does that path look like in terms of advocacy for you right now? You spoiled the little secret, so to speak. You're based out of Atlanta, so and I'm in Hamilton, Ontario. So what does the advocacy look like? What's the path that you're on currently when it comes to advocacy?
The advocacy is many, many parts. And having a conversation with you, Anthony, was really wonderful because you talked about the Accessible Icon Project. And with your leadership and you telling me that, we actually passed that in the city of Atlanta, which is really, really cool. So, yeah, and thank you, right? You're the one that shared that information. And part of disability advocacy is really networking with other people with disabilities and learning their practices, that what they're doing to implement in their community, and seeing if you can implement those working with local legislators. And so forming those relationships with your local city government is probably the best thing that anyone can do. I think it just helped me to become a more informed citizen. And when I then went to vote this year, I was educated. I was informed. I was the most educated I had ever been this past year because I'd been so involved. And I think that is really empowering as a citizen who has the freedom to vote. So having those conversations, emailing them on a regular basis. Additionally, I focus a lot on transit equity. I think a lot of the issues moving around in the city falls back on sidewalks. And the reason for that is you use the sidewalks to roll to the bus stop, use the sidewalks to roll to the train station. And those sidewalks, if they're lacking curb cuts, if they have bumps and cracks and potholes in them, or if they don't exist, you're putting yourself at risk for safety of being harmed by cars, but it also can prevent you as an individual from going out and going to the grocery store, going out to activities and things that you would do on a regular basis. How about going to work or going to school or even getting home, right? Sidewalks are really the epicenter of everything inside of transportation in the city. And working with local transportation advocacy organizations. Here in Atlanta, we have MARTA Army, we have the Atlanta Bicycle Coalition, we have the pedestrians organization called PEDS, then we have our MARTA Transportation, and really getting on the forefront with those leaders and having a conversation with them, talking about why accessibility is important. And at the end of the day, they're all after the same goal. They're after safety. They're after equity. They're after inclusion. They're after just being able to get around the city without relying on a car. And I think the inequities of disabled people as well as the cost of a car is expensive, especially if you need to have it adapted with hand controls or switches, or if you need a ramp in them. You know, those cars are not cheap. And so for myself, I'm carless, mainly because I don't have the funds to buy a car. And frankly, I don't want to be driving around the city. Don't trust myself.
And as you alluded to, Carden, I mean, the cost to adapt a vehicle is basically the same cost to buy a vehicle.
For real, yeah.
And we're going to take a quick break, Carden, but we'll be right back. More on Above and Beyond.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Hi, I'm Hannah Carter for your Hamilton Crime Stoppers. When you submit a tip, here's how it all works. You receive a PIN number. This PIN is the only thing we know about you. When you call back after 6 to 8 weeks with your PIN, Crime Stoppers will know if you qualify for a cash reward. If you do, the money is placed into an envelope with your PIN on it, and it is delivered to a discreet business. You go there with your PIN number and receive an envelope with your cash in it. No questions asked. It's that simple. So if you know something, it could be worth a cash reward up to $2,000. You always remain anonymous. So contact Hamilton Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS or at crimestoppershamilton.com.
I need to find home care for my dad. My husband can't find a job. Our fights hurt the kids. When you don't know where to turn, turn to 211, the helpline to community and social services in 150 languages. 211 is free, confidential, 24/7, and answered by friendly specialists. Dial 211 or search 211ontario.ca. 211 helps people find the right community and social services. 211, when you don't know where to turn. Supported by United Way, your local community, and the governments of Ontario and Canada.
This is a small dog barking. This is a medium-sized dog barking. And this is a big dog barking. Regardless of a dog's size or breed, its bite is always worse than its bark. That's why Canada's letter carriers kindly ask that you keep your dog indoors, in a fenced yard, or tied securely away from your mailbox. You may think your dog won't bite, but statistics say otherwise. More than 70% of reported dog bites happen at home and involve family pets. So please, be aware of where your dog is when we're delivering your mail.
You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Welcome back to Above and Beyond, and we're continuing the conversation here with Carden Wyckoff. Carden, you are an Atlanta resident, and you were talking about transit equity before the break. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that for me, please.
Transit equity is the key to moving around the city for every individual. Transportation should be affordable and it should be accessible to everyone. And also, everyone should feel safe when they are using the government-funded transportation offered in a city. And the problems that we face in Atlanta, and something that we spent the last year on with MARTA Army, a local transit advocacy organization, is we raided 25% of our bus stops. We have over 25,000 bus stops inside of Atlanta and surrounding counties, and we raided about 3,100 of them. And I spent many hours raiding bus stops on accessibility, and that includes, is there a crosswalk nearby? Are there curb cuts nearby? Is there enough lighting when you go to that bus stop at night? Is there the information and wayfinding information at a wheelchair seated height? And is there a bench? Are there people competing for the seat? You know, all the things that we think about when individuals are using transportation. Transportation is essential for those essential frontline workers. A lot of those that are disproportionately disadvantaged in their income, they rely on mass transportation. And if they don't feel safe using that, then it's really unfortunate. And so we are working to improve that by auditing our current bus stops, and so that we can then elevate and work to change and make that more equitable, safe, and accessible for everyone.
And Carden, we're in this, and especially interesting times with the COVID-19 pandemic right now. How is it for you? Full disclosure, I mean, we are in both different countries here, but what has it been for you navigating the pandemic?
What's interesting about the pandemic is I look at it as another obstacle and another transition in my life. And this is my personal experience. I think overall, people with disabilities are adaptive to change and they're adaptive to hardships. And so for me, it was rather easy to adapt to having to go full remote. I actually made the decision about 3 weeks in advance before it started getting really bad. So actually about exactly a year ago, I moved to full remote when I first started hearing the conversations about the pandemic and where it was going. The initial challenge that I faced was access to food. I live above a grocery store, so it's easy to just hop down there and buy snackables and quick prepared meals. But overall, in general, you know, that's, you can't just eat popcorn and Cheetos for throughout the day. For we had no idea how long this was going to last, and so I would often leverage restaurants and either have my parents cook or have other people cook for me. And that became the immediate challenge because the restaurants all shut down in Atlanta, and so I had to then figure out another way to have food and nourish my body. And I was very fortunate to have family that was close that was able for a few months. They started making me meals. And then as restaurants started opening back up, started able to do that, but also had to learn how to make some salmon and rice so I could live off that for a few months. And that, you know, salmon, rice, broccoli, really easy and very nutritious. I think in general, though, I am getting antsy to get back to being around people. I am definitely a people person. I enjoy going to events. And in Atlanta, there's a lot of culture. And so there's a lot of festivals and a lot of shops and things that are always putting on stuff that is really fun and lively. And I think that's probably the saddest thing is just not being able to go to concerts, not being able to go to festivals and experience that culture that Atlanta has to offer. But, you know, just kind of part of it. You do a lot of Zoom conversations with friends and family, and the Zoom fatigue is very real, but, you know, that you have to make do in order to stay sane.
You certainly do. And speaking of this COVID pandemic in terms of people with disabilities, what have you seen from your perspective as opportunities going forward once we finally escape the pandemic to the quote unquote, as they say, new normal?
Opportunities for the new normal. I think that we have had a tremendous amount of time to reflect on our own experiences and also hear from the disabled community about what they really need. Things like supportive housing and accessible services, people that can come, their caretakers, getting access to food and, you know, essential livings, being able to go to the grocery store. Do I have all the answers? No, definitely not. But what I have seen and have been on it are many conversations of people talking about to their legislators about what is top of mind for them. And it's allowed our systems to start breaking down and rebuilding so that we can have more equitable experiences. I think the food delivery services have been extremely beneficial for a number of people with disabilities because that food is prepared and it's easy, though it does get expensive, but it is certainly an option that has been elevated with this pandemic. But I think we face a lot of issues, especially with our caretakers, where can you really trust them if they're being safe? And I don't know what the exact answer would be for that. You know, whether or not they're seeing other people with disabilities or if they're out partying and having a good time, right? Are they being safe? So I think it's just been a lot of reflection and learning and listening.
Yeah. And speaking of reflection, learning, and listening, Cardin, as well, you've also had an amplified voice in your community and you've initiated a lot of change for the betterment of the communities in Atlanta. What's one of the gratifying feelings that comes along with that for you?
I think I'm just always really appreciative and thankful for the receiving end, that to actually take the time to listen to what I have to say, right? Nothing actually gets changed unless the person that you're giving that feedback to or whatever you're trying to ask for is they actually take that and implement that and say, yes, you know, we believe in accessibility. We believe in making this better for everyone. And so we will work to add your improvements. And the other thing is it's not just me, right? You know, it's ideas from you and from a lot of other people that I have gathered all these ideas. And that's the other thing with having the podcast that I launched last year is really listening to a lot of people with disabilities and learning their best practices and be like, hey, that's a great idea. I'm going to go talk to my legislator tomorrow and we're going to try and implement this, figure out a way to include this. So I'm just always really thankful and appreciative. And yeah, I look at it as I'm here to be that connector to try and make the world a more accessible place, because ultimately it does benefit me, right. But I'm really doing it for others.
Which is phenomenal. And that's what we all do. And I mean, we had the opportunity to meet over social media, and then our voices collaborative have united, and we have a lot in common. Cardin, we're going to take our final break, but we're going to be back on Above and Beyond with more from Cardin Wyckoff.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Are you 16 to 21 years old with an unstable home in need of a safe place to stay? Notre Dame House might be for you. Located at 14 Cannon Street West, Notre Dame House is open 24 hours a day to the homeless and street-involved youth seeking assistance. You'll have access to trained staff, meals, beds, and they'll give you the tools you need to succeed. Notre Dame House believes in faith in people. Please contact them at 905-308-8090 or online at goodshepherdcenters.ca.
I have two words for you to consider. Prostate cancer. Consider that one out of seven men will get prostate cancer. One out of seven. Consider that 95% of all prostate cancer can be cured if detected and treated at an early stage. 95%. With odds like that, you'd be out of your mind not to consider being tested for prostate cancer. Visit prostatecancer.ca or talk to your doctor now.
This message brought to you by the Prostate Cancer Research Foundation of Canada.
Sunshine. Warming, energizing, life-giving. Like the effect of the sun on all living things, the Sunshine Foundation of Canada brings warmth and hope to children with severe physical disabilities and life-threatening illnesses. For 20 years, Sunshine has been making dreams come true, creating smiles and happy memories to last a lifetime. Sunshine Foundation, dreams for kids. Help brighten a child's life. Visit sunshine.ca today.
This is Hamilton's Alternative, 101.5, The Hawk FM.
Welcome back to Above and Beyond, Bridging the Gap to Accessibility and Inclusion, joined by Cardin Wyckoff. Cardin, this has been an incredible conversation, and learning from yourself and the perspectives dealing with the international wavelength, as you're based in Atlanta, I'm based here in Hamilton. But, Cardin, I want to simply conclude today's conversation, tie a bow on it by, you know, introducing our audience to you and your work. You also have a podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I have a podcast, Freewheeling with Cardin, and that podcast elevates people with disabilities, and we share best practices about breaking down those barriers for people with disabilities. We talk about stigmas and biases and representation in the media and at events and in the film industry. And it's an open conversation, very similar to this, that just talks about, you know, how can we make a more accessible and inclusive world. And through that, also building a network of allies, because the allies are the people that are actually the largest category of what helps to make that change, because they're the ones that can spread the message to their network as well.
Absolutely. And where can people reach you on social media?
People can reach me on social media at Freewheeling with Cardin on Instagram. And my other Instagrams, my personal one is at Cardin of Milk, and my Twitter at Cardin of Milk, like a carton of milk, but it's CardinOfMilk. And so I use the different platforms for various means. So Twitter is heavily on transit equity, because I have a huge network of transit equity folks on there. And the personal Instagram is a combination of my personal life, but also elevating disability related stuff. And then the Freewheeling with Cardin Instagram is really promoting just the disability conversations that we're having and also best practices.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, Cardin. When I first saw the Twitter handle Cardin of Milk, it took me a second to connect the dots, so to speak. So I really, really do appreciate that. Cardin, so finally, talk to us about your message, because your message is phenomenal, and your message is so important. It really spans the globe of what we can do from worldwide perspective to initiate change, initiate opportunities for growth, initiate growth from getting out of the perspective to change what we need to change. So simply just give us your message.
Yeah, the message that I've always used and something that my mom always instilled with me at a young age was, you have to be the change you wish to see in the world. And that's that famous quote from Gandhi. I actually have it tattooed on my wrist. And oh, wow. I got that in college. And that's just something that's really stuck with me ever since I was internally struggling with the diagnosis of my muscular dystrophy at a very young age and working to be that role model for myself so that I could say, wow, look at all the things that we did together to create a more accessible place. And we channeled that energy of trauma and sadness and depression and all those other things into actual positive and tangible solutions that benefit more than just yourself, benefits the world.
And as you alluded to, Carden, the importance of momentum and your quote, be the change you wish to see in this world. And that's important. You know, you want to leave your legacy, but you also want to build it for the future, for the younger generation and the generation that will supersede us. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we're getting that message and we're leaving that message so that other generation can benefit from the legacies that we leave. Carden, this has been an incredible conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time to join me today. You know, full disclosure, we met on social media through a combined passion of ours together, and this has just flourished into a friendship. Carden, you're a phenomenal person. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for joining me on Above and Beyond. We'll see you next time. United, always trying to face the day. We're together.
You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Chasing after in the summertime. It's so pretty when I see the light, but then it goes out again. Paper thin walls, I heard you on the other side. When you're done talking, tell me who is wrong and who is right. When you're driving all your points so far home, tell me who is right. And I'm trying to learn to speak Japanese, so I can tell you how it looks to me when you're blooming in the spring. Your heart is a firefly I'm chasing after in the summertime. So pretty when I see the light, but then it goes out again.